Blog Talk Radio.
You met me deep in my despair to show me you would never leave me there. You claimed me because I was made for so much more. I am your child, and I'm worth fighting for. With the weight of my mistakes, you carried me and refused to let me sink under the pressure you meant for me.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Good evening. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I'm your host, Brother Dave, and I'd like to welcome you again to the Spirit of a Soldier, where we come to share the knowledge and wisdom of God. Let's take a moment to pray. Heavenly Father, we just glorify and magnify your name. We uplift your name. We say hallelujah to your name. We give you all the glory, all the praise, all the thanksgiving, Father God, because you first loved us. You loved us so much that you would give us your only begotten Son. Father God, that we would have life and have it more abundantly. But today, Father God, we come to you just to thank you for the goodness that you have given us throughout the walk of our life. Our journey, Father God, has not been without you. You have never left us or forsaken us. So we praise you, Father God. But as I get ready to speak your word, Father God, let the Holy Spirit rise up in me, where I, in my human spirit, decrease, and the Holy Spirit will rise up boldly, that we may be able to share the knowledge and wisdom and gain the understanding and the discernment of your word. Father God, we praise and we honor you, for we know that you are here, and everyone under the sound of my voice, Father God, will get something from the word, Father God, something that will help motivate them, encourage them, uplift them, inspire them, move them, Father God, give them hope, give them faith, and give them, Father God, trust in you. We believe we receive this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, praise God. Again, I just want to welcome you again to the Spirit of a Soldier. And I want to give you a quote today. What would I know about being restored if I hadn't lost my place? What would I know about his mercy if I hadn't gotten out of grace? Marvin Wyman. And the scripture says in 2 Corinthians 13:9, for we are glad when we are weak and you are strong. Your restoration is what we pray for. That's what we want. Everyone to be restored. I'm reminded of a cute joke where a man was driving along on the highway and he saw a rabbit hopping across the middle of the road. He swerved to avoid the rabbit, but unfortunately the rabbit jumped in front of the car and he hit him. The driver, who was so sensitive and was an animal lover, pulled over to the side of the road, got out of his car, and went back to see if the rabbit was okay. But to his dismay, the rabbit had passed. The driver felt so awful he began to cry. Well, a woman driving down the highway saw the man crying by the side of the road, and she pulled over. She stepped out of the car, and she asked him, what's wrong? I feel terrible, he explained. I accidentally hit a rabbit, and I killed him. The woman told the man not to worry and that she knew what to do. She went back to her car trunk, pulled out a spray can. She walked over to the limp, dead rabbit and sprayed the contents of the can onto the rabbit. Miraculously, the rabbit came to life, jumped up, waved his paw at the two human beings and hopped off down the road. 50 feet away, the rabbit stopped again, turned around and waved, and then hopped another 50 feet. And he turned around and waved, and he hopped another 50 feet. And he turned around and waved till he was out of sight. The man was astonished. He couldn't figure out what substance could be in that woman's spray can. He ran to the woman and asked, what is in your spray can? What did you spray on that rabbit? The woman turned the can around so the man could read the label. It said, hairspray, restore life to dead hair, and added permanent waves. The moral of the story is, you never know how one can be restored. So that's what our show is about. We're going to recap from the previous show, which is, it's never too late to be restored in Christ. Now, throughout the course of my shows, we've discussed many things in which we can grow in Christ. And in such areas, we address such as communicating with God through his word, having that authentic relationship through the renewing of our spirit, heart, and mind, moving in the spirit of faith, developing oneself in Christ, God's plan of prosperity for our lives, and through the power of the tongue, the tools we use to fight the good fight of faith. But yet we ask the question, what will we do when we have been operating in all these areas, but life seems to bring about those tidal waves of being, that pushes us to the sea of being overwhelmed and challenged every step away from the left to the right, front to the back, 360, and brings about heartache, pain, and disappointment? Well, I believe that in our walk with Christ, we will find ourselves from time to time asking these questions. Because life is full of unpredictabilities and uncertainties, where everything seems to be going our way. But due to unforeseen circumstances, we fall into the traps of life like the prodigal son, which we talked about. But we know this, where our Heavenly Father gives us sometimes like the prodigal son, he gives us what we need, even our wants and desires. And like that prodigal son, we go on our own path and squander some of those blessings and find ourselves in the pigsty of life. Well, we ask ourselves the question, how did this happen to us as believers? When we knew the word, we attempt to walk in the word, but we fall short of the word. Well, I've come to believe that it's due to two factors, rebellion, consciously or unconsciously, for which our actions gone unchecked brings us into ruins, thus causing us to think harder about the importance of repentance. Which if we go to Jesus with a sincere heart, it causes our Heavenly Father to show us that reconciliation through his love and his higher level understanding. Remember, his ways are not our ways. And in turn, he restores us back to our rightful place with him. I have found things in our lives that we need to do to restore, to get that restored look back. I kind of look at it verse as a classic car. Where we go, either it becomes neglected, abused, or taken advantage of, or just outright fall into the trap of destruction. But with the right tools and resources, we can restore ourselves to that original condition, or God can. For which I believe that God, he will receive us back and give us back more than we lost. Well, the final outcome is greater than the original state it was in. So, how do we return back to those levels of restoration where someone or something is improved beyond measure, like the prodigal who received back more than what he loved and was put back in his rightful place with his father? That is the objective. As I said, like a classic car, a car can be beat down like never before. And we have seen it through the course of our lives, most of us, that some people who take that invested interest and put that love into it, it can be restored. And matter of fact, it can be restored so wonderfully, so beautifully, that it looked better than the original state when it came off the assembly line. Well, that's what our Father does for us. He restores us back to that rightful place because he's a loving God. He's a caring God. He's a compassionate God. He's an understanding God. And so in my research, I discovered four key points, which I'd like to share with you, that I think is significant for us to get that spiritual restoration, not just physical, because sometimes we get caught on those external factors. But I always like to say we can't allow external factors to control our internal stability. And we want to be stable in Christ. We don't want to be tossed to and fro. So we need that spiritual restoration. So when we find ourselves in those moments where we let life kind of put us in a position to let things go unchecked, we know how to do the check and balance through the Holy Spirit to give us that guidance and that direction to help us be able to take the scripture and illuminate it so we can understand God's word to get back in that rightful place. So during the dedication and development of the temple, Saul appealed to God, requesting that God forgive and restore the people of Israel when they had fallen into sin. This is 2 Corinthians 6:12-42. God at that point told Solomon that when the Israelites sinned, they would be restored, provided they go through these four steps, this four-step process. And because God's word is everlasting, the same today, yesterday, and forevermore, I think this four-step process is applicable to today for us as Christians. The four steps are first, humility. This is the word which has a tendency to look like a sign of weakness. But no, humility is a true sign of strength and wisdom. Scripture tells us in Proverbs 11:12, when pride comes, then comes disgrace. But with humble is wisdom. Thus, as we press towards the mark of perfection or maturity, we begin to realize that pride comes before the fall. Well, pride keeps us from humbling ourselves to come to Christ. And I'm reminded of the situation with Judas and Peter, where they both betrayed Christ. Both were told they betrayed Christ. So sometimes it's like a parent. We're going to tell our kids, now, if you take these things here, you're going to go to the right, and everything's going to be all right. But if you take these steps here, you will go to the left and everything will go wrong. Well, Christ had told them what they was going to do in advance, but they went forward. And when these things happened, both felt, I feel, in their own spirit. They felt that guilt and shame. Now, they had a choice to make. They had an opportunity to make it right. Judas decided, because he couldn't lower his pride and exercise humility, he went and he took his life. Peter, on the other hand, realized that Christ was a loving God, a forgiving God, a merciful God, and like the prodigal son, he went and surrendered, who had surrendered to his earthly father. Peter went and surrendered to Christ and asked for forgiveness. So he got life. And this is what we must do. Be willing to surrender ourselves unto God. Because when we surrender ourselves, that don't mean that we're going to walk this walk and be perfect and without sin. But again, if we look at not perfection from man's definition, but from God's definition, that we're maturing, that we're maturing. And he say, I work. That means you got to do something. If it was all automatic, you wouldn't have to work at it. But we have to work at it. That's why it's important that we study to show ourselves through the right and discern the word of truth. We got to study. We got to do the work. And we talked about this. Faith without works is dead. You know, we can't just be hearers. We got to be doers as well. You know, we have to hear the word because faith come by hearing the word of God. But we still need to be doers as well. And so the next step is prayer. We talked about prayer. After we humble ourselves before God, we should be at the point where we want to find God's will for our lives. And this is through prayer. And in my previous sessions, I talked about the importance of prayer in order that we can build our relationship and develop that communication line that becomes personal and genuine, authentic. However, prayer is not just for us to bring our grocery list of our wants and desires. And I have to admit, I used to study with the Buddhists, and they used to say that wants and desire brings about pain and suffering at various levels. But it's not just about the wants and desires, because we know that in Philippians 4:19, it says that God supplies all the need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. So we ain't going to come up short, because if he pies for the sparrow, he pies for every other creature out here, surely he's going to provide for us. However, Jesus shows us that the primary purpose of prayer is to prepare a person to perform the perfect will of God. Scripture says in 6:10, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we know the fullness of the Lord's Prayer. And in Luke 22:42, it says, Jesus prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. So as Christ was in this human flesh, again, this flesh can weaken. A lot of times we're so hard on ourselves and we end up exercising things such as Judas because we let guilt, shame, and pride get in the way. But we talked about the importance of humility. We humble ourselves, and then we can hear the voice of God. And we by surrendering ourselves to him, and his will be done, such as Christ talked about. We want the pain, the suffering to go away. I used to always say people don't take their lives because they're arrogant or cocky, as some people say it's all about them. They just want the pain, the suffering to stop. So when we see these things, we have to decide that level of humility and understanding as well, as Christ and God and the Holy Spirit works with us and our shortcomings or our struggles, our challenges. And if the thorn don't get removed, that's okay. If the cup don't get moved, it's okay, because we want to still be in the perfect will of God. And as Paul said, my grace is sufficient. He wanted that cup, he wanted that thorn to be taken away, but God took care of him anyway. And the third step is communion and fellowship. Here we spoke about this in the previous session, of building that relationship with God, his Son, and the Holy Spirit. Here's where we see God's face, where we are seeking God's face to begin to when we do this, we begin to live in his presence. And because of prayer is the doorway to enter into communion with God, we can begin to live our lives making a stronger effort to serve him, as if we were standing before God's throne itself. And listen, we have to maintain that consistent dialogue with the Heavenly Father that builds a level of true intimacy with him face to face. Some of the Bible warriors that sought out God's face were Moses. Moses was one. In Exodus 33:11, the Lord spoke unto Moses' face as a man speaking unto his friend. When you build that communion, that relationship, you build that friendship. And again, we know this to be true. It's been said that through the word, that no greater thing a man do than lay down his life for a friend. Now, God sent his son, and his son laid down his life. So that friendship, that bond, I know we have sometime in our humanness, we have a tendency to use the word friend loosely, but it has more power than we want to give credit to. He don't say no greater thing a man do to lay down to his wife, her husband, our children. He said a friend. And I've heard many people say, you can't be friends with your children. Well, I always tell my son, I'm your best friend, because I'm willing to lay down my life for you. I'm willing to lay down my life for you. Even when he may go out and exercise behavior like the prodigal son, my arms are always open wide, just like the prodigal son's father, which to me represent God himself. But this is significant because when we humble ourselves and pray and commune with God, we not only build our relationship, we become his friend. And as true friends would do, if you're falling short or you miss the mark, we can feel comfortable that our relationship can be restored. Many times, even in relationships, husband and wives, brothers and sisters, and I've talked to quite a few. I talked to a gentleman today at the restaurant, and he was telling me how his brother had abused him when he was a child and even threatened him again some years later. But at 45, he said, we're friends. He might be a little more cautious, but he said, nah, we're friends. He allowed that relationship to be restored. And like relationship that has to be restored, it is building a close relationship that establishes a bond, a communion that becomes so wonderful that for Moses' case, this experience was so amazing that when he stepped away from God, his face glowed. And I know that glow. And say people talk about that glow when a woman is having a child. I know that glow when a woman is walking down the aisle and she's looking so lovely and the husband looks upon her face and there's this certain glow that he may never see again. But in that moment, that glow is amazing. And I can remember when I graduated from basic training, I saw that glow of all the soldiers that said, never get together again. We all on one accord. And that one accord is generating that glow. So I know what that glow looks like. Imagine having that moment to stand before God and have that face-to-face relationship that Moses had. And then it's about Enoch, where it was another who I knew that glow, and it was Enoch. And in Genesis 5:24, it says that Enoch walked with God. And in Hebrews 11:15, it said, by faith Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death. It was not found, but God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony, what a wonderful testimony, that he had pleased God. That is the primary objective, besides our commission to go out and share this good news with others, to let people know how wonderful God is, how amazing God is, how loving God is. We also want to see God smile. We want to please God. When I read the Psalms, all I can see is David, even in all his frailties, he just wanted to please God. But the last but not least is step four, which is repentance. Turning from our wicked ways, our sins. Well, repentance is the offspring of communion. This is not the same as the repentance that is a prerequisite for salvation, which is in Acts 3:19, because this passage was addressing to my people, which are called by my name. So God was addressing those who already were believers. This repentance was about they spoke in Romans 12:2. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds, that we may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Again, our objective is to ensure that we try to align ourselves with the perfect will of God. Now, again, I because I don't know anybody that's flawless, and I've always believed that everything's perfect in its own state, if you look at it from the external worldly fashion. But that perfect will of God is about that maturity, that growth. And that's what we want to do, because as we grow, we can restore many relationships. We can restore relationship with ourselves, relationship with God, relationship with our family, friends, and relatives as we grow and mature. And because of that, we line with what God's perfect will is, which is, he say, to love thy neighbors and we love thyself. And as we love God, everything. I've come to the point in my life, everything is about love. But we need to even take time to understand the meaning of that word. And I know there's various meanings from the spiritual standpoint. There's various meanings from the natural standpoint. But we need to study it. Because when we align ourselves with the perfect will of God, and since God is love, we'd be right on point. We'd be right on point. So God intended for us to improve, to bring us to the level of humility into prayer, and from prayer to communion. And finally, communion gives birth to repentance, which is that mental renewing. See, the unfortunate part about growing in life and not knowing about Christ is that we get drifted out to sea. We get distracted. We get pulled in. We get pulled down. We get walked over. We get abused, misused. But it's not that we wrestle against flesh and blood. And this is what we have to understand as we deal with each other, that we're not dealing with this flesh going back to where it comes from, which is the dirt. We're dealing with principalities and powers in dark places, much higher than we can even imagine. So we have to prepare ourselves. So it's important that we take these steps and utilize them to begin to allow God to be able to spiritually restore us, that we can come stronger, more powerful. As one would say, our youth can be renewed like the eagle. But remember, these four steps, which is about spiritual restoration, is not independent of itself. They work with each other. They're in sync. The believer must humble himself before the Almighty God, and he will pray because he recognizes that he must submit to the will of God, the Lord of hosts. The believer that discerns the will of God through prayer must seek God's face, because when we walk in God's will, we walk in communion with God. And the believer that walks in communion with God cannot help but renew his mind. As we saw with the prodigal son, by exercising humility and praying to God and repenting daily to continue working toward the mark of perfection, we continue to allow God to restore us. A life that is better than what we lost and what the locust took away, or what Satan tried to steal, kill, and destroy, which was God's perfect plan of prosperity and no harm coming to our life in order that we can be in his perfect will. But as I say in my quote, how would we know about being restored if we hadn't lost our place? How would we know about his mercy if we hadn't gotten out of grace? I would believe in my travels, in my life, in my experience, I haven't met not one human being that hadn't gotten out of place. But the wonderful thing, our mighty God, our loving God, is that he always shows his grace and his mercy. He will give us the guidance because he gave us, as I spoke about, all the resources, all the tools, all the spiritual gifts that we need to continue to fight the good fight of faith. And people, let me tell you, we have to keep fighting the good fight of faith. Because your faith is always going to be tested. But when it's tested, it brings about perseverance. It gives about that power that we need to strengthen us to go forward. And when we look back not to look back to complain, but to change. how we have matured, how we have grown, and how when a crisis come up, a situation comes up, we still can keep fighting the good fight of faith. We still can speak with the power of the tongue to speak life on those situations. And it may not feel good. It may not give you that warm and fuzzy feeling, but that's not what it's about. Feelings have their place, but our walk is by walking in faith. We have to walk in that faith. And I believe when we find ourselves falling short or we find ourselves falling down, we have to know that God's work that he begun in us is going to be saw through, and he will restore us to that rightful place with him. Now, before I close, I want to inject something before the prayer of salvation. Is that someone said to me not too long ago, they titled me Pastor Dave. And I'm not a pastor. I'm a man, as I said earlier, who is sharing the knowledge and wisdom that I receive through many pastors, bishops, and all the leaders that I've come across. But I thought when I was given this opportunity, that was the greatest opportunity that I could have to share the good news of God. And I always say that as you listen to my words, you go back and study the word. You go back and get it. You look to see if I missed the mark. Because Paul said the same thing. He wants to ensure that the people got the word of God, not the word of Paul. So as I share this each week, and I'm excited about it, I'm humbled by it. I just want everyone to know I'm doing this from the heart. Because God has done so much for me, I can't hold it. It's that fire shut up in my bones. And I want the world to know that God is good, despite of ourselves. And I've missed the mark a lot. Probably going to miss it a little more. But every day I get a little better because I'm studying God's word. And it's illuminating itself in me. And it can illuminate itself in you. Let no one make you ashamed of God. Because God is real. God is love. And if you're struggling to find love, seek God first. And he will provide all that you need and more beyond your imagination. I've seen situations and been in situations I couldn't even imagine I would be able to see my way through. But God was always there. His word is the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. He truly will not leave you or forsake you. And I just want to tell somebody. And I remember used to go to schools and I used to speak. And they said, how many people do you want? I said, it doesn't matter. You give me 300 or one. Because I truly believe history was never changed by the multitude. It was the people that stepped up, the ones and twos, and the multitudes followed. And as we read about individuals, that's usually the case. We don't know who's going to be the next person to go and turn it around. The next Billy Graham, the next T.D. Jakes, the next Joyce Meyer. And many others out there that we don't get to hear about who are doing missions over in other countries. There being the difference that makes the difference. And that is our commission, to go out and share the good news. The good news that brought me where I'm at can do the same for you. So if you don't know Christ, you haven't accepted your personal Lord and Savior, you're all given a free will. But I will, and I know God will, and Jesus will, and many other people will, that you know about Christ. So all you have to do is just say with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is your personal, you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. For with confession in the mouth and believe in the heart, thou can be saved. And at that point, once you accept Christ, your personal Lord and Savior, don't hesitate to run and study his word. So when you go and run and tell somebody, you got a strong foundation to show up with, because you don't want to be like the men that say Jesus' disciples in their earlier day say, Jesus, I know, but who are you? So make sure that you get that strong, solid foundation and keep working at it. It ain't going to be easy, but nothing venture, nothing gain. And I've never known anybody to build muscle that don't have some weight on them. So go out and charge your battery up so you can give somebody else a boost about Jesus Christ. Again, this is the Spirit of a Soldier. I'm your host, David Patterson. Thank you for listening to me. God bless you, and we'll see you next week.
God provides, so why do I worry about my life? When you come to my rescue a thousand times, every other voice it is a lie. God provides, God provides in ways I can't explain and can't deny. The little that I have, He multiplies. Just when I feel He won't show up on time, God provides. He'll come through when the clouds of doubt rain down on you and test everything you thought you knew. Now you finally see what God can do for you. So tonight, close your eyes, there's no more need to fight. Watch God provide. God provides. It's hard to say when there's no food to eat, or what you see feels all that life will be. And will this be another year of misery for me? But my faith can't survive on just things I see.